What if everything you've been taught about selfishness is wrong? In The Virtue of Selfishness, Ayn Rand challenges our most fundamental moral assumptions. The word selfishness typically conjures images of brutal people trampling others to get what they want. But the actual definition simply means concern with one's own interests, a morally neutral concept. This confusion represents what Rand calls a devastating package deal that has stunted ethical thinking throughout human history. We've been presented a false choice. Either sacrifice yourself for others, good, or become a brutal exploiter, evil. But what if there's another option? What if rational self-interest, not self-sacrifice, is the foundation of a moral life? This isn't about pursuing random desires or whims, but discovering principles for human flourishing guided by reason rather than emotion or social convention. The brute who exploits others isn't truly selfish in Rand's view. He's actually self-destructive, acting against his genuine long-term interests as a rational being. Unlike animals guided by instinct, humans have no innate survival code. Our consciousness requires volitional effort. Animals survive through automatic mechanisms, while humans must use reason to identify what benefits or threatens our lives. Our survival depends on conceptual knowledge we actively develop. The choice to think or not is, fundamentally, the choice of life or death. No instincts teach us to make fire, forge tools, or build shelter. Only volitional thought provides such knowledge. We must initiate thinking, validate concepts, and apply logic ourselves. Our consciousness requires our will. Nature offers no automatic guarantee of mental efficacy. In objectivist ethics, the standard of value is human life, what's required for survival as a rational being. Since reason is our basic survival tool, whatever supports rational life is good. Whatever opposes it is evil. The cardinal values are reason, purpose, and self-esteem, with corresponding virtues, rationality, productiveness, and pride. Each person is an end in themselves, not a means to others' ends. We must live for our own sake, neither sacrificing ourselves to others nor others to ourselves. Achieving our own happiness is our highest moral purpose. Mental health supports human survival by providing control over reality. Self-esteem reflects this control, the consequence of a mind committed to reason. Pride must be earned through effort and achievement, while humility merely requires abstaining from thought. In mystical morality, self-sacrifice is essentially mind sacrifice. True sacrifice means surrendering a higher value for a lower one, not exchanging something less valued for something more valued, which is simply gain. A rational hierarchy values things according to their importance to one's life. Neurosis involves a distorted value structure where one values things leading to self-destruction. The doctrine of self-sacrifice demands surrendering happiness, values, judgment, and ultimately one's mind. Many feel torn between being virtuous or happy, idealistic or successful. This false dichotomy stems from irrational morality that separates being able to live from being worthy of living. Under anti-life moral codes, one becomes worthy of living by making oneself unable to live, explaining why hypocrisy has become our cultural defense against impossible moral demands. Altruism distorts ethics by focusing on self-sacrifice, undermining self-esteem and genuine goodwill. The rational principle is to act according to your hierarchy of values, never sacrificing greater values to lesser ones. Love and friendship are selfish values, expressions of self-esteem and responses to qualities you value in others. Your love for someone stems from qualities you value, not from a duty to sacrifice. Help to strangers should be limited to genuine emergencies, temporary, unexpected events where survival is impossible without assistance. Poverty and illness are normal risks, not metaphysical emergencies. Your primary obligation is maintaining a social system that preserves freedom to achieve values. A rational person's moral purpose is their own happiness, with helping others being incidental. Genuine help comes from respecting each person's autonomy and potential, not from sacrificial handouts that create dependency. A rational person understands values must be produced through effort, never claiming unearned rights to others' work. When facing competition, they either meet it or choose another path, recognizing a free society rewards skilled performance. Only passive, parasitical people view competitors as threats, seeing themselves as interchangeable mediocrities competing for arbitrary favor. The rational person knows life isn't determined by luck, and while goals are replaceable, loved ones are not. In love, rational people experience no conflicts. Love isn't limited, but an unlimited response to be earned. If two people love the same person, what that person feels for one doesn't diminish what's available for another. If she chooses one, the loser couldn't have had what the winner earned. The question of competing for the same job ignores reality. Neither is automatically entitled to it. Context, competition creates jobs, and effort. Whoever succeeds earned it. In a free society, one can avoid the irrational. In an unfree society, no pursuit of interests is possible. Truly successful people rarely complain about competition. They welcome it as the mechanism that creates opportunities and rewards excellence. Pleasure is a psychological necessity that rewards successful action while pain signals failure. It serves as both emotional payment for achievement and incentive for continued action, giving us direct experience of our efficacy. Pain says, "I am helpless," while pleasure conveys, "I am in control of my existence." 5 interconnected areas provide life's enjoyment: productive work, human relationships, recreation, art, and sex. Productive work is most fundamental, creating the efficacy needed to enjoy other values. People with self-esteem take profound pleasure in mental work and growth. A rational person is motivated by love of values, while a neurotic is driven by fear, affecting both what they seek and how they experience pleasure. The greatest pleasure is pride in one's achievements and character, with romantic love representing the highest union of pride and admiration, celebrated through sex. The most fulfilled people aren't those directly pursuing pleasure, but those engaged in productive work they value. Happiness stems from living according to rational values, not from chasing sensations. Rights are moral principles defining proper social relationships. Since only individuals think, choose, and act, only individuals possess rights. The concept of collective rights is contradictory, as groups' legitimate rights derive solely from their members' individual rights through voluntary association. A group has no independent rights beyond its members. Individuals neither gain extra rights by joining groups nor surrender existing ones. The dangerous notion that rights belong primarily to groups implies some people can control others based on group identity or numerical superiority. A free nation's territorial rights stem from its citizens' individual rights, with government serving as their agent against force and fraud. Constitutional protections for individual rights enable citizen participation while preserving liberty. History shows societies flourish when recognizing individual rights, while collectivist societies decline into tyranny. When someone invokes society's rights or the greater good, question who benefits and at whose expense. True rights protect individuals from coercion. They never justify forcing some to serve others' ends.